everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Expert to Authority show. My name is Simone Vincenzi, and I'm your host. This is the show for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses while making an impact in the world. And this is a very special series of episodes that we are doing at the moment, showcasing some of our clients and some in particular, introducing you to some of the GTEx award winners in 2023. And today we have someone who is really special, a pillar of the GTEx community, which won also the GTEx Grit Award in 2023. We're going to talk in this interview about how to really move forward and face really challenging situations and what mindset to have and how can you turn really almost like critical, almost desperate situations and overcome them and actually come out victorious on the other side. So there is a lot to unpack, and that's why I want to welcome to the show the one and only Caroline Cooper.
Hi.
It's good to see you. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling excited today. Actually, I've had a really lovely day. I found a Mahjong group. Mm-hmm. They play Mahjong, and it's like, yes, I love Mahjong.
All right.
So I actually got along there today. So yeah, I'm getting out and about now.
All right, that's great, because we're going to talk about that. Going to talk about that later, but like a few months ago, you were dead close not to be here anymore. So yeah. This is the fact that you can be out and about, that you can like restart your business, launch your membership. It's for some people, seeing how you were before, could see this is a bit of a miracle. But we'll go there. So first of all, just introduce yourself and give some context in terms of who you are and what you do, and then we can go into the rest.
So I'm Carol Ann Cooper, and what I do is I support entrepreneurs in unlocking that writer within, so that they can then write their story or their book or whatever it is that they're stuck with not getting written. I can help them to get it written, and it's through my own journey of unlocking the writer within, because writing was something I hated. I hated words. They were not my enemy. They weren't my friend at all. I'm a mathematician. I love maths. And I've just been guided on this journey to write. And even though I still question it, answers keep coming. And it's just a case of something will open up, and things have opened up along the journey anyway. But it's been really interesting unlocking that writer within, and helping others with the tools and skills that I've now got to help them to write in a different way. It's helped them to open up ways of writing that they hadn't realized was in there with them. It's improved their writing. It's also, in some of them, they found a joy with writing, or they reconnected with the joy they once had. It's like there's an excitement, there's a joy
there
to see, and it connects with actually the teacher that I used to be. I used to be maths teacher, and I've realized it's more the education. It's when people actually succeed, and you get that glint in their eye, and you can see the joy, and it's like, oh yes.
I love it. And in fact, there are so many people that, for thinking about business, is words. It's all expressing yourself with words. It's all expressing yourself with your spoken word. Now, I know that you're like last year, something really difficult happened for you. So let's create some context. What happened last year?
Oh, it just came to a head, really. I mean, I've for quite a few years I've been compromising my body. I had over 20 years ago, I had an ovarian mass diagnosed, and I said I would deal with it holistically. The consultant that I saw just stood over me and said, it won't work. wrote to my doctor and said, you know, what he'd found and what he suggested, and the fact that I'd said no to it because I was scared. And I'm afraid I was just furious. And it's like, I'll show you. So it was that rod in the back, I'll show you determination that took me to where I got to last year. Because although I have done a lot of holistic work on it through my training and other fields of complementary therapists that I've had, and a lot of it has focused on that mass, and I realized that it was the words that have been shoved down and emotions that have been shoved down all these years, and also sort of ancestral stuff as well. And I cleared a lot of that and knew that once that was starting to flow, that this mass would go in some way. But I would not go and see a doctor. There was no way I went back to a doctor, never again, you know. It's like but say last year it got to a point where this had grown so much, and I'd been sitting for probably about five to ten years sitting and not being that active. And especially in lockdown, I slept a lot, I ate, I watched telly, and I did my bits of business, but of course you're at the laptop all the time. So it was like my abdomen just grew and this mass just grew, and I could barely walk, and my breathing as well. So I didn't get out much. I did no exercise. And then got to a point last year in August where I was really ill. I had sickness, diarrhea, and I was just totally dehydrated and had so much pain in my abdomen. And my daughter, I actually went to a reflexologist and thought, let me have some, you know, a session. And she said to me, when she'd finished, I can't charge you for this. You're too ill. You really ought to go to see a doctor. And I was going, oh, no, no, no. Anyway, that was a Saturday. On the Sunday, and my daughter came home and she said to me, Mum, please, will you see a doctor or go to hospital? She said, because I don't know if I'm going to come home and find you dead or alive. The children are worried, my grandchildren, they're worried, they're scared. And it hit me. It just went, ooh. And I went, okay. And I had some phone calls. We rang 111, and it was like, it was the perfect timing, because it's as if angels were with me, because the conversations I had were so smooth, they were supportive, and it was quite magical. But yeah, it was that conversation that just went, okay, I need to do something now.
So what would you say to people that they know that they need to do something about it, but like you, they might have resistances? And what would you say to them that really helped you really prioritize this or change your approach as well after many years of dealing it in a different way?
I think because I knew that I was destroying my body and I didn't know how to stop. And I did, long before I had that conversation with my daughter, that happened, I'd actually thought, well, what is it that's holding me back? What is it that's taking me to this point that I can't seem to stop destroying my body? And I went in and did some inner work, and I discovered I didn't like myself, I didn't love myself, and I didn't want to be alive. And it was like, okay, I got it. And so I transformed that. And it's like, oh, right. Yeah, I brought that round so that, yes, I want to be alive. And I think that's what then opened up the journey to me then being able to say, okay. But also I think it was that supported me through what then happened when I went into hospital.
That makes sense.
Where I got to, because I did want to live.
Yeah. How was your reaction when you finally pinpointed why you were destroying your body. And there's the fact that, you know, it's not something easy to admit to yourself. It's like, hey, I don't love myself. I don't want to be alive. That's why I'm making these choices. And they're all subconscious behaviors that they're just, you know, if someone meets you, I've been knowing you for 13 years almost. Yeah. 13 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would have not said once that you're not a loving person, that you would not love yourself. You always have attention for others. You always have attention also for yourself and so on. So what was that? How was that moment for you when you realized that this was the case?
I think for me, it was a, I've got you. It was no longer hidden. And when we can discover things, when you can see it for what it is, then things can change.
Sure.
So for me, in the way I work, I, when I find it, it's like, okay, I got it. I was like, whoa, okay, gotcha. I understand it. But I had got to that point where I felt that nobody cared, really cared. And I felt like here, I was just like a piece of furniture. Nobody really cared what I was doing or whether I was dead or alive. And that's where I got to. It's like, nobody really cares whether I'm dead or alive. Mm. But of course, because that's the message I was giving out. I don't want to live. I'm not, I don't love myself. So how can anybody else, you know, you put up that barrier, you put it up. And so that's how it seems. It's what I'm saying to myself. It's not the truth at all. And this is what I realize is we feed ourselves some incredible lies. And when I did get that, it was like, okay, I got it. That's what's taking me to the edge. That's what's having me destroy my body. So in transforming that, even though things did get quite considerably worse, you know, with the way I was, my body had like sepsis in it, as well as this huge amount of fluid, not as well as the, you know, the mass there. Because when I did get into hospital, they were really concerned. They didn't think even then that I would have whether I was going to make through the night, or, you know, there's sort of quite a lot of concern. But I think discovering it is actually it's not as shocking as you might think, because then you can deal with it. Once you know it and you can face it, you can deal with it.
Liberating as well.
Sorry?
Is it a kind of liberating when you find it?
Yeah.
Because I had a few realizations about myself and the way some decisions that I made that were definitely subconscious, and I had them in December. And as much as it was like, oh, why? This is why I'm in this situation. This is why I'm making these decisions. At the same time, I felt empowered. Now I finally knew what I could deal with, what I could change.
Yeah.
And I think the message here for everyone that is listening or watching right now is, you know, it's important to find out what is the reason why you find yourself in certain situation. What is the reason why you have these behaviors, and then really dig deeper there and say, okay, why am I having this situation? Why am I having those behaviors? And then see what comes up out of it. Because then you can do something about it. As freeing is empowering. I want to fast forward, because then you go into hospital. Then after a few days, I think, if I remember well, then you had surgery. And
it was a few weeks before surgery.
A few weeks before you had surgery.
Because they actually they started off by draining the fluid, and they drained 7 liters of fluid from my abdomen. And then they started testing the mass because they wanted to, because they thought, oh, it's cancer. And they kept doing all these different tests, scans and all sorts of things. And they kept coming back, no, there's no cancer marker. They couldn't find any cancer markers. And the test results kept taking time to come back. And it took about 4 or 5 weeks before I actually had surgery, because I got to a point where I said, look, if you can't find any cancer markers, maybe there's no cancer. You know, can you please just take it out? But when I went into A&E, went into hospital, into A&E, one of the first, it was the second nurse I met, and I explained my, you know, what had happened. And she said to me, she said, well, something must have worked holistically for you to still be here 20 years later. Hmm. And I went, thank you. Yeah. So a part of me knew that there was no cancer there. It just needs, it was at that point, it was ready to come out, you know.
It was ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but eventually, through other conversations, someone that my daughter got to know, who knew that the consultant, said, you need to speak to Mr. Watson. The appointment was made, so I had a conversation with him. And he was saying, oh, it's a bit risky. I don't know, it's a bit too risky. And I said to him, well, I'm dead if you don't. And if you do, I at least have the chance of life. Hmm. And bless him, I mean, a wonderful man. He decided, he took the risk. He said, okay, I'll do it. And he did. Everything aligned and it happened. But they had to make sure there was a bed in ICU first before they could operate. And then I went into ICU and I was there for a few weeks.
What I'm interested in knowing is also for everyone here, what was your mindset while you were going through those moments? Because you have people around you, doctors, mm-hmm. nurses, family members, worried that you will not make. I was receiving messages from your daughter. We were worried. I was like, okay, no. Like, okay, just send positive energy and Caroline is going to be fine and it's going to be okay. But I got to lie. Like, I would lie if I would say, I would not. We were worried. What was your mindset in this moment while you were waiting for that surgery?
Oh, up and down. Because it was also, we had a couple of weeks of hot weather as well. So in the hospital, I was just so hot and uncomfortable. And it was a strength of mind of, okay, we get through this day. And even when there were times when they said, oh, we've got to wait another week before we're going to be able to discuss it. And it was like, oh, and I could feel myself go down. And it was just some inner strength and just a focus, and this is going to happen. But I was also aware of, there's a lady that I know, Aurora Light. She had some healing with her last year, and she'd been sending me healing, but she was sending me healing all the time. I was in hospital twice a day. But I also was aware of, as people got to know, them sending prayers. And absolutely incredible, the support I could feel from people when they knew and were sending the sort of healing prayers. But I have a very strong belief in the universe, God, and also in angels. And I was very, very aware of Archangel Metatron, who is the top angels, archangels, who was overseeing it all. And for me, when I had that presence of him, when I was having the drain fitted for the fluid to be drained, I just had that sense of him and all the angels. And I thought, okay. But when I was waiting for the tests to come back, the results, it was, as I say, it was up and down. And I just had to use my skills of going, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm thinking. And then to reframe it and feel my energy come back up again. Because it's, you know, you can get really down and it's not fighting it. It's just going, okay, this is where I'm at. Yeah. And then somehow you can shift it. But I've also got activities that I can do. Some brain gym, which is part of educational kinesiology that I'm trained in. So I would do some of that. But really just praying as well. Prayer is very strong, very powerful. Hmm. So that's what would help shift my mindset. Because my focus was on, actually, this mass was coming out. there was no two ways about it. It was time. So I think it's having that attitude as well. I'm creator of my reality, and I decide, you know, this is time. It happened. So it's keep connecting with that.
Now, my last question for you is, now we go after the surgery. The surgery is happening. You're there in ICU, very weak. Then you have to start the whole recovery process. Mm-hmm. For people that, based on your own experience, for people that are going through recovery, because, and also that, you know, mm-hmm. knowing you, you're very driven. You know, there is the things that you still want, like with your business and the ideas that you had. I was surprised when I came to find you and you were thinking, oh, I was already, I'm here. I can barely walk, but I can think about all the membership that I can learn. I'm like, damn, Caroline. It's like, but that's how you are. That's quintessential you, right? So for people that are going through a recovery process, they might maybe feel frustrated because, you know, their body maybe used to, or their mind used to act or behave in a certain way. They maybe had more energy, more mental clarity. Now they can do like a tenth of the things that they were able to do before during that time. How did you face that moment? And also, what suggestion and advice would you have for other people going through a similar situation?
I just want, there's one thing that sort of nudged me to say, because that was something that really helped me, was when my daughter said that while I was under in ICU, they just after the operation, they'd rung her a couple of times to say that I might not make it that night, you know. And she just said, don't underestimate my mum. And every time I think about that, I just go, oh, thank you, Nicola. And that just helped me through the recovery. She had faith in me. She was visiting me, and she, you know, and so I owe it to them to have that strength to keep going. But yeah, I mean, I literally had no strength in my body at all. And I just kept setting myself little goals. It was that determination that I'm going to be able to just turn myself over in the bed, not have to rely on somebody else coming to help me, you know, and then be able to get myself out of bed, be able to walk, be able to take myself to the toilet. It was little goals that I set myself, because they wanted to take the catheter out. And I'm going, hang on a second, I can't even get out of bed and go walk to the toilet. And you want to take the catheter out? No, I said, I'm not going to be caught short. So there's that little bit of determination. There's a little bit of feistiness in terms of, and dignity as well, holding on to my dignity. But I set the goals, and every time I reached a milestone, I celebrated. I was going, yes, yes, I've done it. You know, I'm getting out of bed, or I can turn myself, or even being able to, instead of them hoisting me up the bed, because they would, you tend to slip down. And so they would flatten the bed out, tip you up a bit, and then they pull you, the sheet up. I got to the point where I was able to wriggle myself up. And so, you know, so little things like that, I was just thinking, oh, great, I can do that. I was then able to get myself out of bed or with help, and then walk. But it's just being positive, and because actually being in a hospital is a waiting game. And there was a couple of ladies that were in the ward with me, and they were going, oh, they were quite... had a lot of negative self-talk, and I was just changing their talk around, saying, well, how about just twisting your words around and just making it a bit positive? I said, but it will happen. And what I found is it takes time, but mm-hmm. it always happens. All of a sudden things happen, and, you know, but it is a waiting game, and it's a test of patience. But I did have times where I cried. And there's a few times that I've cried in a way I haven't cried in years. And it was just allowing that release of emotion out. And if you do cry, let yourself cry. Because one of the nurses, she tried to stop me. She said, oh, no, don't cry, don't cry. And I just carried on crying. And afterwards I said to her, don't ever stop anyone from crying, because that's a release. that helps to clear things. And then once you stop crying, it's like, oh, everything shifts again.
Yeah.
So, you know, in recovery, it takes time. There were times when I didn't think I was going to be out of hospital before Christmas, let alone see my birthday in January at home, because of what they were saying. It's, oh, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be home before Christmas. So it's, you set yourself, again, it's that mindset. Let yourself, I went into that sink, all I could see was this corridor of months, weeks ahead, you know, me still in hospital and going, oh God, and I just slumped. And then I thought, no, I'm getting out of here. I will be, and my body can heal itself.
Yeah.
And it is taking that responsibility. And there was one thing I thought through a company that I used to assist with. And when I was assisting, if you're on break, they would say, when on break, be on break, because the temptation is to just carry on doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, be on break. And I suddenly remembered that. And I went, okay, when in hospital, be in hospital, because I was, I don't take medication and I don't like be having all this. And I thought, I'm fighting it. If you're fighting it, you won't recover, because your body, there's that tension put in there. So
yeah. you can have great things, but now your body's just going to reject them.
That's right. So I just, it's a case of sort of surrendering, but just being there. But I would always question, well, what is it you're now giving me and why and what's happening? And I would write it all down. Once I could start writing, I would start writing it down, but I would always question them and make sure I knew what was happening. Whereas I know a lot of people, they just go, don't know what's happening, and it just happens, and then things happen to their body. It's like, no, I want to know. So it's taking an interest. It's being proactive in your healing. Yeah. And as I say, prayer again, and setting those goals. When I, as I say, it was actually a conversation that I had with my granddaughter when she came to visit, and it just went, oh, I could think about my business, couldn't I? I could start planning. And all of a sudden it gave me something else to think about,
mm-hmm.
because it gave me a future to look into. My daughter said to me, well, I wasn't supposed to tell you this, Mum, she said, but Emma, which is my other daughter, my eldest daughter, is coming home for your birthday, because she lives in Australia. And it was supposed to have been a surprise, you know, and it was like, but all of a sudden you're like, no, thank you. You know, I started planning because she was coming for my birthday. I had to get home.
Yeah.
And so it's having those things to look forward to. But yes, I started planning my business. I was going, oh yeah, I'll do that and do that. And started realizing, and even when I ended up having an MRI, which was one thing I absolutely dreaded and thought I was going to get away with. But no, they said, you need an MRI, because I had some pressure sore, which they thought might have got so bad it had gone through to the bone. So they needed to check that. And I actually created a metaphor with that, because I love playing around with metaphors. Because for me, I now call myself Carol Ann. And yes, Ann is my middle name, but I've always was known as Carol. Up until I shifted from teaching to doing all this personal development work. And then it's like, that's Carol Ann, because it's like I found myself. But I realized it was Carol that made all those decisions. So I was having conversations with her, and I realized it was a healing journey for her. And I stopped correcting the doctors and nurses when they went, Carol. And I went, okay, all right, it's Carol that's here. But when I was in the MRI, I sort of thought, okay, so what was it that Carol was really scared of and that wouldn't go beyond doing with the business? And once I got in touch with that, which was to do with having the conversations and converting potential clients into clients, it's that step. I just didn't seem to be able to make it. I thought, okay, so while we were in the MRI, I got in there and I was like, I was holding her hand, I was with her and I was talking to her, and that's where my focus was, and saying to her, look, yes, you took me to this point of almost no return, but we have come back. And I said, I need your determination, your resilience, your fortitude in you know, keep going with something with the business and take me to that edge and beyond now so that we can get clients, we can get the money in. It's okay because I now know how to have those conversations. I said, there's resources and skills I now have that you can tap into. So, and I just talked with her and I shared the business model and said, look, my business is my business. I decide how it's going to run. And I got my packages sorted out and I was talking with her and I could just feel this shift, and then invited her to just grow up inside me and join me. So it's like, okay, let's see where it's going. But this is having that, in order to recover, it's setting those goals, setting yourself something to move forward with. And when I left hospital, when that eventually did happen, and it was before Christmas, I set myself the goal of being able to walk, go outside, go up to the station, the tube station, because I live in London, up the stairs, on a train, get into the city. And so I sort of live on the outskirts of London. And one of the people that rang me to say about the home care that I was having when I got home, and I told him what my goal was. And he said, oh, that's a big goal. He said, most people, you come out of hospital, just want to be able to walk around where they live, you know, in their home. And I said, well, I just do it bit by bit. And I did.
And you got there.
And I also set a target. I messaged a couple of friends and said, look, I'd like to meet up in person. I set myself this goal, December the 30th, can we meet up? So that was a 6 week ahead.
Yeah.
And I got there. It's like, yes, I met up.
There is a lot to unpack in this interview. In fact, this is the last part, because you know, you talked about having someone that has belief in you. You know, your daughter gave you that belief that in the moment where you needed the most, then setting yourself micro goals and celebrating them. And we talked about, you know, integrating part and using this experience as a healing process, as a healing journey, and be able to integrate different parts of yourself where maybe there was a part of you that made decisions years ago, decades ago, and still is running the decisions and how you're living your life today, now that you're a different person, exploring that. There's definitely a lot here. I want to ask you a final question before we wrap up, which is about, you're a big pillar of GTEx, and you're the head ambassador. You've been part of the community for many years. And the question that I have for you is what was the role that GTEx played during this journey that you have? Because, you know, we talked about GTEx family and we talk about care for people in the moments when they need it the most. And so what I would love you to share is like what support you have received from the community while you were going through this journey.
There were, as you say, it's a beautiful family community. And there were, because my daughter, because I couldn't send out messages, I couldn't function my brain, and I was talking to my daughter and got her to send out messages, you know. And there were a few times where a message came and Nikki said, oh, do you know this person? But it was a GTEx member who'd heard and had just sent me a message, you know. And it was like, it's like this little, I could feel there was that support there. But also there was other members of the community that I was in touch with. So like Fluffy, I had messaged her, and she was sending prayers. She was getting her prayer group to send prayers. And so it's that, when you're part of a community, because I had other communities the same and they were doing the same, but it's this with GTEx as well, you've got that. I call it a family, because everybody supports each other and they're concerned about each other. And so knowing that it was there gave me that, it's like that, I can't put words to it, but you know, someone's got your back.
Yeah.
you know someone's there for you. You can feel the energy. I could feel the energy. Not everybody can perhaps feel it, but you get a sense of it in some way. So it was getting those messages. It was the, because there's like Linda Granson, who's also a GTEx member and someone that I do a lot of work with. And she was there as well and messaging. And it, I can't really put into words how comforting it was. And also when you asked to visit as well, there were people that had asked to visit, and I couldn't really face it at the time, but there were a couple of people in there. I sort of said, okay, there was a couple of people I know that I said, yeah, I can have that visit. And also you were one of them, but by which time I then got home, like I wasn't in hospital anymore. But that visit, and it, I don't know, it just, there's a warmth in my heart. And it just gives me that people do care. And it just proved that old voice that went, nobody really cares whether you're dead or alive. It's not true. They do care. You might not hear it all the time, but it's there. And that's what the GTEx community gave me, was another voice that said, yes, we do care, and we want you back with us.
Oh, that's,
and that return on returning, and people are going, oh, it's nice to see you again. And it's like,
so great.
And it's interesting. It's like, oh my God, you know.
It's so great to see you back. And definitely, yeah. I got to say, wrapping up, that, you know, this is why we have created GTEx. Is, of course, we do training and business, but we are a community, and it becomes another additional family that you choose to have. And you build some great relationships over the years with people. And that's why people responded back with that love, with that care. And now I got to say that your role as a head ambassador was missed, as we had a few conversations about it. So I was really happy that you came back and took the role. All right, Caroline, I got to say, I'm really happy we managed to have this interview. Congratulations for winning the Great Award. There is no one that is more deserving than that, than you, for what you went through, for the grit that you showed. In being here, in being alive, and restarting your business after this experience that was very hard. So, welcome back, and on behalf of the GTEx family and everyone is watching or listening, wish you all the best moving forward as well.
Thank you for the award. It was, it was a very pleasant surprise. I was just like, oh, thank you. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're having a tough time, remember that if you can surround yourself with the great people around you who believe in you, then you can move past and using these experiences as a healing journey. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you subscribe and also leave us a review. It's good for the guests. It's good for the show. It's good for my ego. It's good for everyone. So looking forward to seeing these reviews. And until next time, remember that together, we grow exponentially. Ciao.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Explode Your Expert Business Show. If you enjoyed the interview, please subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Every week we will select a winner from the reviews that we get. So it might be you. Make sure you give us a review. It means the world to us, and that's how you can help us grow the show. Also, remember to download the Expert Business Checklist to get the roadmap on how to become an authority in your field. The link is in the show notes, or you can visit gtex.events/expert-checklist. So it's gtex.events/expert-checklist. And as well, finally, if you want to receive daily support in your coaching and speaking business, or explore how we can work together, join our private Facebook group, Explode Your Expert Biz. Again, you can find it on Facebook at Explode Your Expert Biz, or the link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially.